Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, what's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, we continue to see markets churn and go back, but as they churn, they are churning butter and they're churning it lower. But they are churning, and we're seeing some action. But does any of this having to do with the upcoming Iowa caucus? Is there anything that we need to know? Is there more to the Hillary story? Is Donald Trump going to be the nominee for the Republicans? Is Michael Bloomberg going to come out and run as an independent? So many things are up in the air. And of course, you know, the unbelievable thing about politics is that right now, all we have is a bunch of hot air floating around. You know, we've got Donald Trump who's thumping Trump in the polls, beating up everybody. And of course, we've now started to get in some of the nasty campaigning. But does it really mean anything? And I think at this point, probably not. I think, you know, maybe you'll have a better idea after the Iowa caucus and, you know, what's going on here in the next week or so. But overall, you know, I think that basically it's a big bunch of hot air. I think the bigger story developing is really what's happening on the Democratic side. And, you know, I mean, it appears to me, and I've said this on air, I've actually said it on TV as well, that I do not believe that Hillary Clinton will get the Democratic nomination. I believe, and again, call me a conspiracy theorist, call me whatever you want, but I believe they've got enough news on her to keep her out of office. And every time it seems like she's making a little bit of a run, she ends up getting thumped a little bit by one of these new developments. And of course, we've heard about the email scandal, and now the latest email scandal is that the documents were so secretive that the people who were checking them aren't even allowed to read them. And interestingly enough, it's the way that she phrases it. It almost reminds me of Bill. I did not have sex with that woman. And I guess that's what you do in text. And I did not use any confidential emails because they're not labeled confidential. So I think it's interesting, but I do believe that she's got so many skeletons in her closet. And I don't believe that she is really the party's choice, because I think if she was really the party's choice, they probably would have got her through last time, you know, when she lost to Barack Obama. And of course he is leaving, and we've got markets that, you know, and the other day, of course, McCain is blaming, you know, Obama for this little bit of a downturn. Now, I will say this publicly. I don't give credit to nor blame the current president for what's going on in the economic cycle, because at the end of the day, whoever came in there, they could have put anybody in office and the markets are most likely going to rally off of that information. Now, as far as the numbers that they're claiming that they have helped us with, that I can blame. That I have no doubt is incorrect. There is no way that this country's at a 5% unemployment. I don't care what the numbers say. I walk around and I see and I know people that aren't working, and I just know that there's no way we're at 5% unemployment, you know, the way that they're counting. It makes absolutely no sense that we would listen to that garbage that they're spewing out from our what would arguably be one of the most antagonistic presidents of our time, who not only is bragging about what a great job he did, and of course we all saw his State of the Union, or you know, All My Children with President Obama, and telling us what a great job he has done. And again, I don't think he's done a very good job. I mean, I don't know that, you know, a lot of people would have done better. What I don't like is the attitude that he shows towards the other party. I don't like the attitude that he shows towards just about everybody. I mean, I don't like that I am holier than thou. I am superior to everybody because I'm a great speaker. Okay? Because a speaker, he is good. But as far as representing the United States of America and taking care of business and taking care of the terrorist and taking care of the economy, that I don't think he's done a very good job at. I think, in fact, if I give him a grade, I don't know. I can't even give him an F. I'd have to go lower because I don't see what they continue to tell us that they're doing. And I think that becomes the bigger problem is when you continue to try to hide behind, you know, artificial numbers, okay, that have basically been pumped up by garbage, okay? If you want to bank yourself on financial engineering, I think that's a crock. And that saddens me as an American because I want to see this country that succeed. It is the best country on earth. There is no place like it. You still have opportunity, but they have limited down because of all the regulations and because of all the problems. They have limited down the opportunities that are now coming forward to the average guy. And I think that is a tragedy. The building of America is a tragedy because we don't have those opportunities. We are getting less and less of American ingenuity and growth through entrepreneurs here than ever. And to me, that becomes the bigger tragedy. As far as what's going on in the rest of the world, you know, hey, let them do what they want. I mean, that should not have as major effect on me if we had a president that was stepping up and doing what his intended job was, which is to control and make sure that we are all taken care of so that we can be tucked in safely every night without the fear of not knowing whether or not, you know, the economy is going to collapse, not knowing whether or not there's going to be a terrorist attack in a neighborhood near you. It always comes back down to where is the overall problem and why can't the most powerful man in the world settle it? But of course, in this country, we've got the most powerful woman in the world who can't seem to get off the dovish speech and the continuing of softening our economic system. And of course, we've got a president that doesn't want to go after and take care of ISIS, which needs to be done. Instead of worry about letting people in this country, let's worry about taking care of this country and putting it together the way it was meant to be so that every American is safe and sound and doesn't have to worry about it. Now, doesn't that sound better than what we have now? So, and you know, of course, if you listen to the speeches of the potential campaigns, and God help us all if Bernie Sanders gets in, because he only wants 90% taxes and free, you know. But on the other side, you know, which is better? And I think this is where we need leadership. Okay, and I don't care who it comes from, but leadership to help, to take care of, and to make sure that Americans have the rights that we have so hardly worked for over the years to put ourselves in a good position and not the position that we are in at the moment, which is wondering about our safety, wondering about our financing, and waiting for the markets to collapse, because underneath the surface, markets have been collapsing for quite a while. And I think that becomes another tragedy when we continue to ignore all of those things like it. But if you are a Bubba Show listener and you have checked out BubbaTrading.com and you've seen our hedging program, you know that you don't have to worry about all that financially, because financially we can help lock up your portfolio and protect you. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com and check out the hedging program. In the meantime, if you miss a show, you miss an episode, go to LibertyTalk.fm. Every show we do is on demand, ready for you to take off. In the meantime, we're going to stop by here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba. There's no one but you. Maybe I think I got something to say to you. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz here with you. And, you know, as we continue to look at the markets and the economy, today is the day, the start of the another two-day Fed meeting in which only, I don't know who knows what the hell they're going to say. But today is the start, and we'll see, you know, if there's any budging or anything's coming out of that early. But I guess the question is, will it be another dovish session now? Will they go back to the doves? Because truthfully, I see QE4 on the horizon. I see a Fed that raised rates into a lousy economy, into no growth, looking for, I guess you would call it maybe some credibility. I think that, of course, they have no credibility, and what they've done has been totally a joke and ridiculous. But again, that's just one man's opinion. I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm just saying that that's my opinion. But as we look and we start to see, you know, gold has been firming up here. Now, again, I am not a guy that believes in gold as the ultimate safe haven play. I think gold is a hard asset that we all want to own in a small percentage, you know, because it's something that you can own, you can hold, you can touch, you can feel. So I think that that becomes something that's looking good and something that's held up rather well. I'm still very surprised at silver that it refuses to ever come off the deck. And you know, it is an industrial metal as well as considered a precious metal. So I find that strange as to what's going to go there. But it's interesting, you know, do we continue to see the weakening dollar, which is basically what the Fed continues to try to do, to try to pump up the exports by weakening the dollar. But I don't think that this is a currency war we can win. You know, you have too much other things or too many other things going on within China, who continues to weaken their currency, trying to keep their markets going. And of course, you know, the Chinese government continues to buy equities, knowing that that's the only way that they're going to actually go up is to try to prop them up. But, you know, last week's end of the week rally, you know, you had major moves across the globe. Now, you know, would those have been short covering rallies, or would those have been just, you know, real buyers? And I think that basically, in my opinion, it was short covering. It was people that have sold and made a ton of money to the downside, and they're just trying to take some money off the table. You know, you don't get moves of this magnitude from real bull markets. Now, it could be the restart. I mean, it could have been a capitulation bottom. I can't say for a fact it wasn't. But certainly, you know, up to 1940, until we can get through 1940 in the S&P, I think you want to look to be a seller. I don't see any reason to be a buyer here. I don't see anything that looks overly good, especially if you look at some of the mainstays. Energy stocks continue to get pummeled. Basic material stocks continue to get pummeled. And of course, I am personally looking to buy those. I'm looking for good, solid levels because, you know, we often talk about fundamental data versus technical data. And this is a big thing in America, and I mean across the globe, but especially in America, you know, financial literacy and understanding where value is. You know, many of us are taught throughout our lives that it's only about the fundamentals. But fundamentals don't drive markets higher or necessarily lower. Okay, technicals do. And what you have to recognize is the ability to be literate enough to understand how the economy works, how price discovery works, and when markets become to a level in which they've probably been a little overdone. And I think if you look at stocks like a Walmart, now I'm not a fan, you know, I'm not a big Walmart guy. As far as a buyer of the stock, it doesn't have enough volatility for me. But from a standpoint, if I was going to look for something to put in my long-term portfolio, I mean, that I wanted to own, Walmart certainly could be one of them. I wouldn't have a problem and somebody saying, hey, I want to buy Walmart. I mean, I'm looking at Caterpillar and John Deere down here. Now, again, I'm not making recommendations that you run out and buy those. But again, when you look at them from a standpoint of beaten down sectors, okay, we know that unless they're going out of business, the beatdowns eventually end. And that is something that you have to understand when you're taking a look at a market and you're taking a look at, you know, how prices are designed and derived, that if you allow yourself to think, oh, well, we're going to zero, and you start selling, well, that's just when you're going to get trapped. That's why you have to be very careful, especially in the world of trading, is if you're trading, okay, be protected. If you're investing, also be protected, but they're different types of trades. But we work on a program here, you know, at Bubba Trading that, you know, we teach how to part-time day trade because there are certain patterns on a short cycle that can benefit you in the futures market by short-term day trading. But most of you, I understand, are longer-term traders, and I think that's what you want to look for is the long-term views of our markets, you know, to beaten up in certain sectors. And I think certainly in the energy sector, they're probably, you know, well beaten up. I think that probably in the basic materials, you know, the cat, deers, and stocks like that are probably beaten up. You know, again, if it was another one like Cliffs Natural Resources, you know, they were supposed to be a takeover candidate and they're just floundering. You know, Chesapeake Energy, they're floundering looking that they're out of business. And I think the most interesting story is one of U.S. Steel. I mean, the stock is trading at $7. I mean, that stock was over 200 at one time. But of course, you know, their whole last rally last year was built on the potential Keystone Pipeline, which is not going to happen. But I think that's one that looks interesting as well. And you just got to be careful when they start creeping under $10, there's usually a potential of more risk. Okay. Believe it or not, as they get closer to zero, there's more risk because then there becomes issues that we may not know about yet, but there may be some fundamental financial issues in companies like that. Now, I do like U.S. Steel and I do own U.S. Steel, but I'm not recommending that you go out and buy it today. I'm just saying it's one that bears looking at. But remember what happened in the coal sector, in the coal industry. You know, President Obama wiped them out with the wipe of a pen, okay? And they went to zero. So, and, you know, there's some big players in there that were huge numbers. I mean, Walters Energy was, I don't know, I think $100 or something like that, and is now zero, like less than a quarter. I mean, it might be less than 3 cents now. So you have to be very cautious at everything that you do. And in investing and in trading, it's about looking for opportunity. And when does opportunity come knocking at your door? And then it comes on how much pain or risk that you're willing to take. You have to have an exit point because there is where you end up in trouble. If you don't have any idea of where you're going to exit, then you're probably not smart to be a buyer. And that becomes the issue because we don't like to lose money. So if we get in and we're wrong and we get out, well, then we lost money. But again, small losses and money management and control are much better than big losses and wondering what truck just ran over your portfolio. But I would start to look in some of these spaces of energy and basic materials because I think those are the ones that will perform best and those are the ones that will come back first before anything else because I think we're starting to see the heat on what they called the FANG stocks last year. And I think the glitter is off of those right now because of the overall problems. We were able to mask a lot of those problems over the past year because of those. But even those are now starting to become under some heat here. And I think now it's the time to be a real investor and look for real value. And I think the value plays are the energy, basic material, because I think that's where you will find legitimate value in a market that will give you an opportunity to grow up with a stock without having a tremendous amount of risk. We don't ever want to chase them. We want to wait for our opportunity and let them find and build some support levels. But I think you'll find that that is the area you can find some nice dividend payers that will also show you potential for growth. And should the economy turn around, and should the dollar weaken and the commodity space be more in favor, I think you'll find yourself and a better opportunity by owning those solid companies. Again, make sure the company is solid. This is where fundamental and technical analysis come together. Find a good technical stock in a solid fundamental company, and I think you'll be off to the races in the correct direction. We're going to step out here for a break, but remember, if you miss a Bubba show, libertytalk.fm. Check it out every day on demand. This is the Bubba Show Top of Boards. I'm going to stop out here for a break, and I will be right back with Matt Demeter right
You're
after
so
the break.
You're so delicious. So soft.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it is time for our guy, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, who's been pretty much on fire, Matt. And, of course, we had some pretty interesting action last week. And I guess my first question to you today, are you still looking for new all-time highs?
Yeah, I am. I'm looking for new all-time highs, but the question is, you know, have we bottomed yet, or do we have to go lower first?
So what do you think? I mean, you're looking at your charts, you're looking at your setups, and you're a 100% technical analyst. What are your charts telling you? What do they look like from your point of view?
Well, the lows we got last week, I was okay with. I like the low in the down in NASDAQ. I can't really see where the low is coming from in the S&P. So they're not all lining up the way I'd prefer. But those look good. The indices that concern me, though, are the Nikkei, because I don't think that bottom didn't look right to me. And also China. China didn't appear to land on any target support for me. It hasn't broken its August lows yet, the Shanghai Composite. And so that's possibly where, that's most likely where the support's coming from. But to me, it's other than that prior low, it's not a key level. So neither China or Japan appear to be finished to the downside. So that has me a little bit concerned.
So explain, this is an important point you're bringing up here, Matt. Now explain to everybody out there how important the level is of where you need to see it before you're convinced that it's going to go and do what you think it's going to do later. Because, you know, a lot of us, you know, go out there and don't really see that. But you're looking for a specific level to trigger your actual reversal or whatever. Explain to people what you're really looking for and what that means.
Okay, well, the way my works is I have, sloped lines all over the chart. And I'm looking for prior lows occurred, where prior highs occurred. And then I draw trend lines, some of which already exist, some of which I'm projecting will exist in the future. In the Nikkei, for an example, I have a declining support line and an inclining support line that kind of meet right around 15,000, just above 15,000. And we didn't hit it. So and I can't really come up with, I'm looking for symmetry. So I'm looking for patterns that, you know, if they move down a certain amount and then have a middle zone, then they should drop a similar amount, as an example. And in Nikkei, I'm not getting exactly what I want to see. But like I said, I think around just around 15,000 would be correct.
Okay, and then so all that being said, we saw the what some are calling the capitulation bottom on Wednesday, and mm-hmm. Yeah, you can look at it any way you want. What did you take away from that short covering rally that appeared basically as they always do out of nowhere on Wednesday?
You know, it's just probably one of those oversold conditions, just got, you know, so oversold, and it had to bounce. I had targets a little bit lower in NASDAQ and Dow, so that worked out just fine. Like I said, S&P, I can't find the line that would be supporting it. So that's a little bit of a concern. But they don't always, you know, back in 2011, I thought we should have gone quite a bit lower, and we didn't. But these levels we've been hitting are rising targets, rising lines that come back from 2011. And we completed one of those targets in August of last year. So that's was the basis for the August low. The lows we're getting now also are coming from September 2011. Sorry, from 2011. And this was the next step down. I really don't think we can do another step down in Dow or NASDAQ. They've completed fine. With the S&P, it's gone a little further than I thought it should. And if it were to continue, I just don't see, I don't see support for it until a lot lower. So either that has to be it, or we could go quite a lot lower.
So what would you consider quite a lot lower? I mean, you know, obviously we had, it broke the 1850, which was your key battleground, and got to the 1830s, but then immediately came back above it. But where's your target that you'd be happier to say, hey, I think we're going to make new highs from here now?
If we went lower, I would say 1600s would be on the table for the S&P.
Okay, so is that because it violated the 1850 and you're now not, yeah. You didn't hold there, so you'd be looking for significantly lower now. So how does that end up diverging? Because obviously the Russell's a little bit of an animal by itself, but the certainly the Dow and the S&P typically trade fairly together. You know, they obviously have the identical components, but the S&P's got 500. How do you see that playing out, and does that put a lot of weight on the Dow as well?
I'm looking at the three indices I'm looking at are Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P. And since we got two out of three the way I'd like to see them, I'm thinking we're okay for right now, that we should bounce and it should continue. If it does continue to sell off, then yeah, if we break the lows of Wednesday last week, then, you know, much lower targets come into play. But if that occurs this quickly, then there's a lot of things come into play. For example, we would be so oversold at that point. I have the most oversold of my indicators occurs on 1987. If we were to fall to those levels, say 1600s in the S&P, relatively quickly, then we would be as oversold or more oversold than we were in 87. And then I would be looking for a monster rally from that level, from the 1600s.
Well, yeah, I mean, that would make sense. I mean, my target is still 1586, so I'm not giving up. And I think that, you know, if we see any move up to 1940 here, I think it's an outright sale again. I do believe that we're going significantly lower. I mean, obviously the only quirk here this week from a just a manipulation point would be, what does the Fed do tomorrow? And what do you think the Fed does do tomorrow?
Right. Well, I think they just talk dovish. I certainly don't think they're going to raise another quarter point going into this. or in this, and you know, also the commercials, which I refer to in regard to the currencies in particular, are heavy short dollar, and they have been for a long time. But they've increased their dollar short position to the largest I've seen it for the past year or more. So they're betting heavily against the dollar, which says to me, you do that right before, you know, Fed meeting, they're not looking for, you know, a rate hike, I don't think. And I just don't think we'll get it. I think we'll be dovish.
Okay, so, you know, again, and dovish could mean, you know, more of the free money. I mean, how about this? I mean, I'm still saying that they're going to actually go back to zero again and there's going to be a QE4. Any chance they drop here, in your opinion?
I don't think they'll drop tomorrow, but I think that they will. They'll just use their language. You know, they'll just talk dubbishly. I think the only reason they would probably like to take back their rate hike, but I think it would make them look foolish. And I think they do everything that they can not to look foolish, and that's about it. So,
but could they look any more foolish than they already look? Because I mean, seriously, if you go back and look back, I mean, the rate should have been raised in 2013, and they should have been up high enough now where if there was trouble, they'd have room. And now they have no room. They're just, if they're trying to save credibility, I don't think they're doing a very good job. What's your opinion on there?
I agree. I don't think their credibility. I think their credibility is shot with, you know, most people. And I think that, you know, what I think they were afraid to do was to raise rates and then get what we just got, which was a, you know, big move down in the market. But now that they've done it, and now I think if they reverse course, you know, just 1 month later, I think they look even more foolish. So I think they'll stick to their guns unless it gets even worse. And then I think they would, you know, let's say we get to the 1600s in the S&P, then I think they would, you know, if they didn't cut, I think that would look really, you know, really bad.
Well, I think they look really, look at, I mean, you got Super Mario last Thursday who does his thing again. And, you know, I mean, I'm kind of getting sick of the, from just a business standpoint and a real life standpoint, I'm getting kind of sick of the financial engineering that's going on. I mean, I think that has really no place in the world because, you know, you're only putting off the inevitable from that standpoint when you try to manipulate and maneuver markets, you know, because the truth is, what the hell do they care about the stock market? Okay, they should be caring about what's going on in the general economy, and the general economy is in trouble because look at what's going on in oil. Now, I know we had a little pop at the end of the week, and we'll talk about that when we come back for the break, but I mean, oil is basically been thrown out with the bathwater, and they keep saying, well, oil and the markets are going the same, and you and I both know that that's not a fact. They may couple for a day or two or even a week or two, but it's really the whole commodity space and the overall strength in the dollar that is causing a lot more of these problems as we look forward. So we're with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. He has been pretty much spot on with the markets. He called for a sell-off. We got it. He's now a little bit concerned about a couple things, but he's been pretty much spot on, and we're going to get more information from Matt when we come back from the break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure to get every show on demand, go to libertytalk.fm. They're every day for you. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with more from Matt Demeter at DemeterResearch.com.
10 miles from town, and I just broke down. After 10,000 beers and 28 years.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. So, Matt, I guess the first question is, and we kind of went to it before the break, why does everybody want to make the correlation of oil and the stock market when truthfully they're not really correlated except, you know, at short periods, anything could be, you can make anything correlated under a short period of time. What do you think?
Well, you know, I don't think oil. It's correlated to oil stocks, obviously, to energy stocks, and that's about it. But then you also have the, you know, high yield debt associated with a lot of those oil producers. Those are the two ways that could affect the market. But I agree with you, generally speaking, that oil, you know, lower oil prices, you know, are generally good for the rest of the stock market. I mean, it puts more money in consumers' pockets, and it's a net wash to me. it goes either way. It's either to the energy producer's gain or to their loss, and that goes to everybody else.
And that goes back to what I always say. If they would just let free markets decide and we'd have real price discovery, we'd really know what the hell was going on there. But, okay, so now, you like the yen a little bit, but you were looking for a little bit of a pullback. We got the pullback. Is this the spot you're looking for in the yen after that big sell-off at the end of last week?
I would have thought that I would be, you know, aggressive towards getting back into the yen, but, you know, it doesn't quite look right anymore. The reason is that two things. One, the commercials, who I follow closely, are actually now net short yen. And they were heavily net long, and they've reversed, so that's a concern. The second concern is that when we've fallen back here in the yen, the indicators have not gotten oversold. In fact, they still remain relatively overbought. So I expect the yen to fall further before we want to get in again.
Okay, I mean, and that makes sense. I mean, it's interesting, and this is something important I want you to talk about as well, is, you know, you thought one thing, and now it's changed, and because of technical analysis, you're able to, if you got in, you would take your loss and move on, but if you didn't get in, you'd now have pause for concern, right? I mean, that's how you kind of work when you're trading through technical indicators, yes?
Yeah, that's right. We have to stay flexible, and there is another price objective that is lower that we may need to get to. It's kind of tough to talk about it both ways, but in terms of the inverse direction, so U.S. dollar over yen, we peaked out at about 125 in June. I think we could go, you know, at least back to 123. We could go even up to 125 and possibly 126 at this point. I don't know if we're going to make it. I don't think we need to make a huge decision on the yen this week. So we'll probably talk about it next time, and we'll see where it's at then.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So what's your outlook going into the week now? So now we've got, obviously, the Fed. We've got, you know, the dollar, which you believe has been very heavily shorted, but still creeping towards that buck line again. What's your outlook here for this week?
As far as the dollar or as far as...
Dollar, markets, oil, markets. Your general... The Matt Demeter Research general outlook now as we look forward to a new week. And, you know, we did have a lot of action last week. So I'm sure there's some new information that you're willing to share and that you can share.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's time to be short treasuries. We got short last week, Wednesday, interest rates, 10-year rates. Bottomed. So, you know, the treasury should, you know, move inversely to the rate, and rates should be moving up. We may get a double dip here in rates back down to the Wednesday low. But other than that, I think that treasuries are short. So we're short. And I think that'd be a good trade.
Okay. And I actually think that I think the 10-year is going to 1.5 before the year's over. But I can see your point, and I can see that obviously looks like it might have put a little double top in there during the week. And I think that now probably, you know, you probably certainly have some room down to about 157 in the 10-year. What do you think?
Oh, I think, you know, we're on the same page there. You know, by the end of the year, I think we get down there. I see, because what I'm looking for here is a continued rally unless the lows of last week get taken out. If those lows get taken out, I'm going to change my opinion, probably. But I'm looking for, you know, a near-term rally. And that would mean, you know, markets moving up typically is bullish for rates. So
yeah, markets up, stocks, yeah. You know, bonds go lower, which push rates a little bit higher. I mean that's right. The typical relationship, and it was interesting. I think it was last Tuesday or a couple weeks ago, we had the dollar stronger, the bonds way up, and the market way up. It was kind of interesting to see that mix, because that's not correct in the overall, the usual relationship, which everybody wants to always make it fit. And you know what? It doesn't always fit that way. So when we look here, Matt, now, so we've got, you know, information, we've got a market, you know, an economy that isn't great from that standpoint. And, you know, you're looking for a potentially run at highs if the S&P can find a bottom here. What were your thoughts of the Canadian? I know that had some movement last week. I know, I believe you liked the Canadian at one point last week as well.
Yeah, the Canadian, well, I mean, you know, it's basically an oil currency. It's bounced with oil. I think it has a good pattern, at least in the short term. It's when I'm looking at the indicators, the RSI, the daily RSI, it gave up a lot of RSI movement from, you know, if you think about it, just as Canadian over dollar, it moved up a lot on that, on the rally we've gotten in the Canadian. So, you know, it's gone from over, Canadian's gone from oversold to now neutral off this one move. So I'm not sure how much it has left as a rally, but the thing is, I don't think oil's, here's my issue. I don't think oil has bottomed in price.
Okay.
So I don't, my thinking is that Canadian moves so closely to oil that probably wasn't the long-term low in the Canadian. Just like I don't think it was a long-term low in oil. Maybe a medium-term low, but in either one. But short-term, medium-term, definitely possible. Long-term, no. I think we still go lower in oil.
Again, there's a lot of people that are saying that. I'm not so sure, but again, I wouldn't be surprised to see it test the lows it put in. Now, of course, you were on high-yield bonds, and they have kind of held. I mean, obviously, the high-yield bond market has gone to zero because, obviously, everybody is chasing that yield. You still like the high-yield bonds, or what's your take there?
I think, here's another one where I think last Wednesday, high-yield bonds bottomed for the short-term to medium-term. Again, long-term, I don't think that they, you know, I think it's one of those, just a matter of time frame. I don't think we should break the lows in HYG or in JNK, the two high yield bond ETFs. I think those lows were set last Wednesday, and now we could go back and double bottom. We could revisit the lows, but other than that, I think we should those should rally just for the short medium term. At some point, I think they reverse back down and they go back into a, you know, long-term meltdown.
Well, yeah, I mean, because again, as long as we have the big issue here, you know, from a fundamental standpoint, is there, money's got no place to go, so it's got to go there, and they keep chasing it down, and of course that eventually does become a problem. But again, when you're looking at the chart, you're not looking at what the fundamental view is. You're looking at just strictly on how the charts are reacting, and I think that's something that we always do here, is just watch the charts, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's why sometimes, you know, you have to that's why I have to put it in terms of time frame, because I think high yield bonds are in a bear market, a long term bear market, but that doesn't mean we can't get, you know, ripping bear market rallies, which is, I think, you know, what is about to take place there.
I think you're right, and I think that's what we saw, and we'll see how it plays out this week. But Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. You got to check out his stuff, guys. You can hear every week. He gives us gold. Gold, Jerry. It's gold. Anyway, Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Todd. It's great to be here.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. And make sure you get every episode on demand at LibertyTalk.fm. Everybody have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. This is The Bubba Show. Check out BubbaTrading.com. And we'll see you tomorrow, everybody. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll see you later. Everybody have a great day.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.